Hello and welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. This is the conclusion to episode 204, part 2, Melt Me. Today is July 24th, 2011. And welcome to Tongues of Fire, Pastor Paul's podcast. I am your hostess with the mostest, Janine Arnopoulos, and I'm coming to you from Spirited, North Minneapolis, Minnesota, USA. And Pastor Paul's club is also located in Disciples Ministries' historic Mikra Kodesh Synagogue at 1000 Oliver Avenue in North Minneapolis. So if you live anywhere in Minnesota, you are living in a household of two or more, you're a senior 60 and older, or disabled with proof, you can come in to Pastor Paul's, register your household for monthly groceries. If you need more information, please call us at 612-521-4665, Monday through Friday between 1 and 4 p.m. Thank you for joining the podcast. The month of July, these are the messages. Doors, I am, says I will. Wake up, melt me, fight on. There you have it, the podcast for the month of July. Be sure to join us every Friday for part one and every Sunday for part two. Subscribe to Pastor Paul's podcast and have a great month of July.
Some can't take the word. Just simply take it. They must wrestle it. How many have wrestled the word? When you first get saved, then you get the books on sanctification. Okay, now I'm saved, but I'm not sanctified. Did you ever get those books? Then you get up and you're all nervous and I'm not sanctified. Then you get all the way up to, no, I'm saved and sanctified, but I'm not glorified. Oh, maybe I got to go back to getting saved so I can get sanctified, then go on to it. Maybe I missed something along the way. I mean, gone through that kind of nonsense. And you torture yourself, and then you meet Mr. Legal Beagle with a bowl haircut. Him and his wife are on Post magazine cover with a pitchfork. You know what I'm talking about. How many have heard that from their very own selves? And over and over and over they wrestle the scriptures, it says, to their own destruction. And they question that. Well, I asked a guy one time, I said, do you think you must have a special pair of glasses to see the truth or something? No, receive the truth and the truth will set you free. Really, your flesh hates God. Now admit that and get free. Oh no, I'll never admit that. Well, then you'll have to go through the fire until you admit it. And they become sick, and they can become bound up, spiritually constipated. Well, you have scripture to back that up? I most certainly do. The bowels of mercy. God is merciful to us. And here's this person. How am I going to persuade them? How am I going to convince them? How am I going to take them out? They're persistent. They're going around and around and around and around and around. And they have worry and fear and doubt. How will I ever get them out? In the fire. How shall I do for the daughter of my people? And then there's others that are obstinate in sin. They are miserable in it, but they will not give it up. They have had some heart-to-heart talks with their conscience, and they say, I know I'm wrong. Tomorrow I will change. See, they wish somehow to overcome their difficulty, but they can't face the difficulty. They can't give up those habits. They can't give up that gossip. They can't give up that hate. They can't give up that rebellion. They can't give up that thing. And they cling to them. And they have often been persuaded. And they have often been threatened. And they have often been moved. But they still stand in the toilet bowl of sin while God repeats, how shall I do for the daughter of my people? And then we have those that will not confess any sin at all. Well, I just don't sin. Well, the Bible says, if any man say he be without sin, he is a liar and there is no truth in him. Well, you shouldn't preach those scriptures because that'll make people go out and sin. I'm not making them go out and sin. They're born into sin. That's their nature. And God so loved them that he came and lived with them in their sinful bodies. Oh, they blame it on hereditary factors, don't they? Oh, I've always been hot-blooded. Y'all see my dad. The meat cleaver Greek, you chase him out. Or they blame it on their environment. Well, do you know where I was brought up? Where, Pastor Paul? I was brought up right downtown, and my whole life, young life, I was spent jumping over buildings, running down, you know, sliding down troughs and so on like that, off the top of these big old buildings and things like that. And that's why I'm the way I am. That's why I'm that way. But before long, they all have to call out because of God's fire and God's dealings, not man's. Father, I have sinned, and they must be melted. But who makes you ready to admit that you're a sinner, and who makes you ready to say that you've sinned? God does. All right, now you've admitted it. Now do you get off the hook? Did you get off the hook with your parents and say, yes, I stole a car. Yes, I ran into a bus and sideswiped a car and ran over a dog and broke a fire hydrant off. Yes, I did all that. I admitted it. Are you off the hook now? Well, there's still consequences, isn't there? There's still the police department. There's still the judge. There's still your parents to deal with. The jerking of your driver's license. See, all those things happen so you can admit. Ooh. How many are hearing this? How shall I do for the daughter of my people? What am I going to do with you, Charles? Anybody in here named Charles? Oh, hi, Charles. Well, there's probably a Charles or two on the radio, too, so don't just take the whole message for yourself, but you can if you want. We're all the same, Charles. Sinners saved by grace. We must be melted before they can ever confess their iniquity. They must pass through the melting pot. We don't admit it until we get into hot times. Did you ever hear that song, "There's going to be a hot time in the old town tonight"? Well, the Bible says you're a city set on a hill. Could be there'll be a hot town in the old city tonight. I promise. See how well I know how to do that? Hold your breath. You go right back through it again. But now you're admitting it. Now you start to go through, as you admit you're wrong, you start to go through the melting stage to be molten and molded. And you keep going through all through your life so that you can be brought to the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have those that are not saved, but they're outwardly religious. They go to church and they go out of church in the flesh. They carry a Bible that's 50 years old, doesn't look like it's been used or cracked open all that time. Perfect shape, just like new, never read. And everybody thinks they are Christians. They're nice folks, but they have never repented. Who, me? Why? What have I done? I'm a devout. You know what I'm talking about. I'm a devout. But they have no love towards God. Well, they can't until they're saved. They have no faith in Christ. They're wearing sweaty wool works robes of self-righteousness, and it clings to them and prevents them from coming to Jesus Christ. From coming to Jesus Christ, are you hearing this? Well, sinful self is bad enough, but righteous self is terrible. Righteous self is a snitch. Did you ever have one of your kids be a snitch? Mom? Doing it again. Mom, can I have a peanut butter sandwich? You want a reward for it, see? God doesn't love snitches anymore, because you know what's going on with that kid. You got eyes, you can look out the window. The police will tell you in time. You don't have to worry about it. I might hear somebody on the radio say, "Well, what kind of preaching is that? Down to earth." Down to earth, smacked you right between your eyes, and that's why you're saying that. Going on. I said, sinful self is bad enough, but righteous self is terrible. The self-righteousness is a kind of mud that will not be brushed off. The man who wears it doesn't let it dry. He renews it daily with just enough mud pack, just enough water to keep it good and self-righteous. And he'll never go to heaven by the way the sinner goes, because he can't admit he's a sinner, and there'll be no one in heaven but sinners saved by grace. You get up there and say, "How did that sinner get up here? And look at the crowns he's wearing." You know, when we go before the great white throne there of judgment, not because of sin. That's already been passed over. There'll be no rerun movies on your sin nature. I mean, who wants to see it anyway? Be like these X-rated movies. They're all the same. What more can you see? You've seen one, you've seen them all. Right? Be the same thing as showing people all this sin. Isn't it beautiful when you see something on TV or hear something on the radio, something beautiful that happened? Why? Because it's such a rarity. Wow, that's real nice. And if we were doing real nice things, probably we would provoke people, by the grace of God, of course. But I say, we would provoke people to get into doing good things. How shall I do for the daughter of my people? And I think there are some that come to Christ because they are so full of levity and fickleness. You ever been around a fickle person? First they say they will, and then they won't. They're undecided now, so what are they gonna do? And they're so full of froth and fun, and they live like butterflies. And they suck all the juices from the flowers and only flit from one to another. And they're easily impressed one way or the other way, but there's no heart in them. You know what I'm talking about? They don't have their heart in it. Woo, this looks like a nice work to do. Flit, nay. Suck a little juice out of there. Ooh, that tasted good. Ooh, and they flit over to the next place. And they're not dedicated. And some of you people have been aroused 50 times. They are good and bad or indifferent. See, they have different fits. Do you have different fits? Do you ever get into that, where you had different fits? You're like a butterfly. One day you're bad. Get away from me, I'm bad. Real bad. Or the next day you're indifferent. Who cares? I don't care. Do whatever you want to do. The kids recognize that on us. One day, ooh, mom's bad today. They know when you mean it, right? Then you're indifferent? Oh, who cares? Go ahead, tear the house down. One day they're good. You never know where they're at. And I think parents, your kids need to know where you're at. Be the same. You do something, you get guilty. You get spank them and then you get guilty over it. Baby them up for 3 weeks and feel like you're brutal and a child beater and everything else. Well, look how much you hurt your hand. Some sympathy for that thing. And I know I'll get letters on that one. Well, isn't that the truth? You know where God is at, right? He'll show you. Because he doesn't mess around. He just says, hey, on the fire. Can we talk this over? No. To the furnace with you. Imagine telling your kids that. You tell them go to his room, that's a furnace for him. Go to your room. And they know when you mean it, too. They know when they can stay. But they did it. But can I? They know when you mean it. When you're sitting there and you're in the middle of one of your soaps. Say, no, go to your room now. No, it's when you get up and you say, go to your room. Now. And you can depend on it. God doesn't miss a thing. He's just like your parents. They don't miss anything, right? Sometimes you think they do. No. They're going to be put into the fire. And they're going to have to change in that fire. All of them, the self-righteous and the legalists and the outwardly religious people. I remember this preacher years and years ago. And he was real legalist. I really liked the guy, but he was so legal. I mean, he had every scripture that, I mean, it was, I mean, you know what I mean? And he would misuse them. See, the letter killeth. The spirit gives life, but the letter killeth, right? And so he went down to Kansas City. Kansas City, here I come. And he got down there and he got into one of these, he was so illegal that the things he preached about, he feared about himself, and he got into one of these porno movies or something. Then he went from there and he went up to some house of ill repute. He walked down through the hallway there, past the rats and the garbage and the dirty diapers and the cauliflower stink and the whole mess. Got in there and did sin. Couldn't stand himself, got out on the highway and was driving about 90 miles an hour or so. And all the time he's torturing himself and Satan's torturing himself. You are lost, you are lost, you are lost. You have preached to others and now you have fallen back and you are lost, you are lost, you are lost. And he missed the curve, which I suppose he wanted to miss. And I ministered this before, but actually when they found the guy, the car had flipped over. And he was laying halfway out of the window. And he was saying like this, God be merciful to me, a sinner. You know what was playing on the radio? Is this all there is, my friend? Then let's go dancing. Get the picture. And there's a tire spinning around. And squad car lights. And crowbars. And people watching. But he finally came to the knowledge of Christ. Be merciful to me, a sinner. See, some are melted down by temporal calamities. The man with rings on his fingers and bells on his toes call attention to himself. Maybe he'll become suddenly ill. Maybe you lose all your money, or whatever. And he cries out to God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And then we have those who are without overt sin or temporal trouble. God has ways of taking them away from their fellows and whipping them behind closed doors. I've met thousands like that, miserable and brokenhearted. I rejoice because they're in the process of being brought in to the right spirit and the right heart. See, God's love is dealing with him, it seems, very roughly. And you try to cheer them up. But their sin haunts them night and day and day and night. Isn't there a song like that, night and day? Night and day under the sight of you, huh? And oh, there's such a terrible yearning inside of me, isn't there? Huh? Yeah, something like that. And they open up the Bible, and the Bible thunders at them. Well, look what I just opened to. For a brief moment I forsook you, but with great compassion I will gather you. I hid my face from you for a moment, but with everlasting loving kindness, I will have compassion on you, says the Lord, your Redeemer. So on the one hand, I do one thing. On the other hand, I love you. I'm the author and finisher of your faith. But don't you know this yet, folks? That faith works by love. That's the greatest of all of them. No, they're so sure they're going to hell, and they'll call up on the telephone, I know I'm going to hell. Young man called up on the telephone, he says, I know I'm going to hell. I have this terrible problem. He says, I masturbate every night. Now, I'm just getting plain English here, okay? Somebody on the radio probably needs this. And I continue on and I can't stop. Well, I says, you're making a great big issue out of that sin. And the more you look on that sin and make a big issue out of it, the more you're going to fall into it. Know that you're saved right in the middle of that sin, and it'll bring you to the knowledge of the love of Jesus Christ, and that sin will no longer have a hold on you. It will lessen until it is no more. But if, I said, you should happen to fall, there is one that intercedes for you forever, Melchizedek the high priest. Now he's off the hook. How many people are on the hook right now? That they don't have to be on the hook. And I know that I'm talking to you out there right now. Maybe their friends say to them, we should commit him to the asylum. Oh, no, I went to out here to an asylum. I minister to people in the asylum. Well, why? Because I know them. I'm like them. The only difference is they admitted things and they put them in the nut house. Isn't that true? What do you think this is out here? Well, this is the biggest graveyard in the universe. Everybody go. No one gets out here. You can't jump off. You think you can jump off and just jump off the world and get out of your problems? Uh-uh. That's why they made gravity. No, he was beside himself. He had to wear gloves. He had these gloves on. He'd walk around and he said, Pastor Paul, there's germs all over everything. I said, you know what? It was the adversary. And that's just not one person. There's a lot of people like that. They're germ conscious. They wait for the toilet door open and they go out. And touch the knob. And now with this AIDS scare going on, no, really. I mean, it's a compulsory for me to go to a meeting because I'm a mission. I have to go down to a meeting on AIDS. We are facing a terrible problem here. 2 years ago when this came on, they said, well, they quieted it down because everybody was freaking out on it. They quieted the thing down. And I said, you know what? Mark it down. This thing is a greater thing than they hushed it by saying they found a cure. But they said it in such a legal way that the cure was on the way. It was just around the corner. And the guy just said, he's out golfing right now. He's going to come back and he's going to complete the serum type thing. You know what I mean? We are in the middle of a crisis situation right now. Okay? And this is where people get real, real fearful. Well, anyway, this was this guy with the gloves. So I come in, he says, now don't touch anything in this room. He says, everything has got germs on it. The Bible says, agree with your adversary quickly whilst he's in the way. Now, the devil was in the way. I says, you know what? You're right. There's germs over everything. Covered. They're just lousy with germs. But greater is he that is within you than he that's of the world. Even a deadly poison won't hurt you. And I'm not telling you to drink deadly poison. Don't get me wrong. You have to say that because people say, do you know what he preached? He preached to go out and drink skull and crossbones, he says, pay no attention to it. Drink it right down. Won't hurt you a bit. I gag you a little bit, but won't kill you. Yeah, because you get these letters in. Anyway, then this guy, and it was so pitiful. God, it was so, you know, and I could see it. And I was really feeling for him. I almost had to bust out in tears because he's a beautiful young man. And he just was suffering from this real legal, devout, whatever legal spirit, you know, God. You know who I'm talking about, Mick? And I said, I walked close to him and he started walking back. So pretty soon he was up against the wall and I just said, gotcha! And he was a good sized guy, you know, and so he was going around and he was shaking. I was like a dog being shook. God. But you got to know me to appreciate this, because that's just the way I am, see. I was singing something, you'll never get away, or something like that, I forget. But you know what, it worked. It worked. It doesn't matter what you do in your ministry. You just either you build a reputation or you're a character, right? I never have had a reputation. One day it's up there, next day it's wiped out. But I am a character. And this guy got free that day and says, now when your dad comes up, I want you to hug on him. And take off them nasty gloves that you got on. You know why? They are full of germs. I said, your covering is the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this guy got out of there, and he was doing just fine, and some legal beagle got a hold of him, and through a set of circumstances that happened in his family, he went out and he killed himself. Some stoop got a hold of him and changed his mind again. Well, you don't like that word? That's exactly what you are, a stoop. Got a hold of him, changed his mind, got him to think he was nasty and filthy and perverted and no one loved him and all of that. God didn't love him, he was forsaken and all that, and the guy went out and committed suicide. I'll tell you, I've been through some things in this ministry. Because, see, I used to deal with all the drugs and prostitution and all that, and that's where my ministry was, dealing with people. Some of the finest people I know were people that came out of whorehouses and bars and murderers and thieves and whatever that had been turned around for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were real people. Until somebody gets a hold of them sometimes and just turns them right back into the swamp. Well, we should take him and put him in the nut house. That's what they did. God has his way of bringing us down and grinding us down and bringing us low, but he never gives us too much that we can't bear it. Because some of us won't come to God any other way. God is fulfilling his word. I will melt them and try them. And all this, God has one object, and he's the expert at it. He is the author of it. You know what it is to hide pride from men? Mine has certainly, as of late, been hidden. Praise God for it. Wiped out. Pride cometh, it says in the Bible, before the fall. Well, that's how Satan fell. See, God cannot save us and yet have us proud. He'll allow no one to glory in self. Salvation is of the Lord and of the Lord alone. See, grace must have the glory of it from the first to the last. I am the Omega, the Alpha, and the Omega. Because, see, God means to take us out of sin, not kill us. And so he makes it so heavy for us to carry. We overload in our mind. We overload in our heart. We have a heavy heart. We moan and we groan in our spirit. He makes us so sick of it. That's what the world is getting right now. They're getting so sick of sin. You want sin? Go ahead. I remember working for my dad. Oh boy, I can have all the ice cream I want now. And after one night and about, 2 gallons of ice cream, I never wanted to see another dish in all my life. The same way with sin. God says, well, have at it. I'll give you over. Do you want it? Yeah, go ahead. See, all this is meant to bring us to Christ. I mean, I believe no man puts in, let's say it this way, no man puts into port except under the stress of foul weather. Out there sailing, sailing over the ocean blue. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. When the storm comes up, that's when he comes into port. See, because souls try to go anywhere but to Christ Jesus. How many know that's the truth? Man, I tried everything but going to Christ. And then when I couldn't go anywhere else, when I was done for, when my sails were ripped and torn and my mainmast down and I was up against the rocks. I said, Lord, help me. Somewhere in my spirit, not in those words, but somewhere in my spirit, I was so down. Why, it takes so long to get even a child of God to fully understand the way of salvation by sacrifice. There's a sacrifice when you come to God. Maybe you today are being used as an example in having done all, stand. For others, I'm talking about, not for yourself. But look at Jesus. Maybe you're being used as an example for others. Maybe God is going to martyr you out. Oh, I've watched some Christians, they go from joy to joy. And I thought, well, why can't it be that way with all of us? And then there's other Christians who appear to make much progress in the divine, but it's not true progress. Some, they appear to have a great deal of knowledge. They talk as if they knew everything. You can sit down. What do you think about this? And they'll give you 14,000 scriptures. They'll tell you this, they'll tell you that. And come right down to it, they don't know a whole lot. When you come to examine, I'm talking to come to examine this person very, very closely, you'll find they don't know what they should know. And then we have some people who have a very wonderful experience and they'll sit around and brag about it and talk about it over and over and over again until you get sick of hearing it. And I believe that experience that a man boasts about should be one that he is most ashamed of. And then some have great abilities, and we hear them talking about them all the time. I think there's a lot of us at times in our life that are naked and miserable and poor, and we need to return to the grace of God. I think a lot of times we become sluggards and rebels and disobedient and self-sufficient. I think that God is calling us right now and saying, hey, you've been through the fiery trial a lot of times. Why not repent right now before you have to go through the blast furnace? I think a lot of us right now, you listening on the radio, have become inflated with a whole lot of knowledge, hot air, and it's going to be like balloons and float right on out of here. See, God is going to put us all to the test, isn't he? Truly that song, melt me, mold me, fill me, use me, is coming to pass. God is dealing. God is looking more closely at his vessels. You know what? They have become marred, and they become marred for a purpose. We don't look like we used to look. But when we go into that blast furnace, when we go through that thing, when we all as a corporate body come in, listen to this, a corporate body of one mind, one Jesus, one baptism, no doctrines other than saved and sanctified and glorified by whom he saves, he sanctifies, and whom he sanctifies, he glorifies, and so on like that. He does the job. And he does it by a lot of little blast furnaces. I think there's one final blast furnace getting ready for all the saints, and they're going to be fitly joined together. And when they take that golden vessel out of there, you can look right down in the bottom of it, and you know what it's going to be say at the very bottom of that thing? It's going to say, made in heaven, not by human hands. We're so used to everything being made in Japan. When you look in this one here, it's going to say, made in heaven, and not by human hands. It's going to be the corporate body of Jesus Christ. Why you say, Pastor, I'm going to give you 2 more minutes to wrap this message up. Okay, give me 2 more minutes. What's the result of people wholeheartedly serving Jesus? It's stated, I believe, in 45 and 12. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift. What's that talking about? It's talking about the wealthy people. When the church becomes sold out to Jesus Christ, by us, I'm talking about seeing Jesus only, her glory, the glory of the Lord, will so impress worldly people, rich people, people in banks, people from plants, people from all over. Because Tyre was a very rich city. They're going to stand in line to meet the needs of people. Why is that? God is going to raise them up. See, the power of missions is at home. Mission's no more powerful than it is from its home base. Our mission is no more powerful than it is right here in this church. And when the godly results are seen and heard of, when the sacrifices are seen and heard of, this is going to happen. And it says, going on, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favor. They shall, like all of us, be made to see the folly of their sins. Why? Because of the witness and because of the testimony and because of the light the city set on a hill. See, when the gospel is preached, when we become disciples of Christ, the wealthy of the world will gladly feed the poor. Not because we preach a social gospel, not because we preach the gospel of compromise, but because we preach Jesus Christ and the blood and the cross and become willingly, openly suffering for Christ's sake, persecutions and trials and slanders, and yes, even death. The agape love of God will give you that kind of power. You'll have that I surrender all attitude and dedication. And that will certainly persuade the daughters of his people. All over that haven't even been brought in yet, so to speak. Did you get anything out of today's message? Yeah. I got a whole lot out of it, see, because folks, I live this message. Melt me. You're not very good looking when you're being melted. You're a molten lump. Is there anyone in here today that doesn't have Jesus as their personal Savior?
That was the conclusion to episode 204. That was part two, Melt Me. Be sure to listen to Pastor Paul's podcast every Friday and every Sunday for part one on Friday and part two on Sunday. If you missed part one, just go to www.pastorpaul.blogspot.com, and there you're going to find all of Pastor Paul's podcasts. You're going to also find all of the show notes to the podcast. And within those show notes are scripture links that are within Pastor Paul's messages. So be sure to check those out. Next Friday, the message is Fight On. We'll see you back here. Have a great week. God bless you.
Get ready, you got to move.